Hi, Renee here at Unsupervised Learning, your easy listening podcast for bleeding edge open source tech.
Today's episode sees me speaking to Alex Atala, founder of OpenRouter, your LLM inference switcher, and co-founder of OpenSea. Before we get into that, I wanted to speak on a video that I saw by AI Jason on reducing his LLM costs by 78%. This came about after he had an unfortunate incident with OpenAI's API call, costing him $5,000 in one day. He touches on a few different techniques, being token optimization and cascading models within the video that I'll leave within the show notes. But it calls into question pretty much what we're talking about in this episode, which is utilizing models to the most cost-effective way that you can, and different use cases for why you want to do that, such as using a cheaper model first to solve a query or an issue before passing it on to a more expensive but more stable model. So hope you enjoy with that, and let's get into it.
What browser do you use, Alex?
Chrome.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Arc?
Yes.
Yeah, I've started using Arc and I love it, but I feel like, remember when Windows XP first came out and it was like such a learning curve? That's how I feel. I feel like a boomer trying to adopt new technology and I'm like, oh, this is so hard. So I end up like looking like a monkey on the keyboard. Alex Atala, that's you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we say it.
Yes.
Alex Atala, known for his pioneering work in integrating artificial intelligence with open source principles, you co-founded OpenSea. And
OpenRouter is a step towards decentralization from the other direction, where so we let users pay once for all models, all language models, and use them all from one place. And they can also figure out where to get it most cheaply, where to get each model with the lowest latency or highest throughput. Latency is how much time it takes to get the first word from a language model, and throughput is how many words per second you're getting on the page.
Yeah.
All of these models, they don't think in terms of words, they think in terms of tokens, which is kind of like a partial word. And all models have a different way of breaking up words into tokens. And there are a lot of models have completely different architectures, and running them looks completely differently. So we normalize all of these things, which means we standardize the outputs, we standardize all the inputs, we help you count how many tokens you use for every model in both its native format and a standard format. And so we just make it easier for developers and for users to talk to them and compare them in one place. We have like a chat GPT style UI where you can bulk chat, group chat with a whole bunch of models. We have like ways of trying them before you have to buy them. We decouple the API from the GPU. Right now, a lot of model hosts are running APIs from the same company that's also running the GPUs. So as a user, your payments are direct, you're basically bundling what you're paying for. You're bundling the service and the actual running of the model. And what is a lot better for users is if they can have like choice of service without needing to set up a new payment relationship with each one. And that's basically what we do. And we have a couple other things coming in the future that involve helping you find the right model for your use case and help it and getting users more tools that they want in one place.
And then that kind of segues into what you're doing with Window AI?
So Window AI is a way of letting users use web applications, just any kind of website, without necessarily where they can bring their own AI to the site. And the website can, we could have decentralized websites that don't make any API calls at all. Instead, they just make, they just call a little JavaScript function that executes outside of the website in your Chrome extension, in your browser extension, which is where you configure your favorite models. It could be OpenAI, it could be something running locally. And so you would have full control. Like, you can see all of the API calls, what's being said, what the result was. You can see the entire prompt, all the secret sauce is totally, it's visible to users. So it was an experiment to see if having something like this could like cause a new category of app to emerge. And we didn't see a lot emerge. It's still, I think, a great experience. You know, we open sourced the whole thing and under an MIT license. And I just worked on it with one or two other people as a side project. And we what we realized is that what Window AI really needed is an easy way of configuring lots of models so that you could, you know, just give people more choice. More choice generally makes for better prices and better experiences. So that's why OpenRouter came to be. I do think like it'd be great if anyone could host a model, or if anyone could, or if people could make models more easily. And that's where I think the next stage of decentralization is. So that's what projects like BitTensor are focused on, and same with others like Morpheus and Ritual. And we're experimenting with actually all of those projects, and that'll come down the road.
And that's when you say like making models more accessible, actually making them, is that open sourcing the data sets themselves to then, or like, what can you step me through that? Like, what does that look like?
So making a model more accessible, I think I meant to say making like creation of models easier to do, or making it easier for people to host a new model that they've made and distribute it widely. The reason that's important is because you can't really offer models at low prices without having good distribution, because a GPU is usually underutilized. And the way these models work is that you really only get very good economics if you can use a lot of your GPU when running them. But this might change. Maybe we'll get some interesting GPUs in the future that are really, really cheap and not as good at parallelizing. But like, that kind of defeats the point of the way they're architected. So we tend to like see accessibility as like making the developer experience a lot easier for people, and like aligning incentives in the right way. And that's what a lot of these early AI protocols are about, incentivizing people to make models that truly are really good and aren't just sort of overfitting to some kind of test, also called a benchmark.
Is it a necessity to have like bigger and better GPUs, or can you run something that is efficient without it?
Yeah, this is a big discovery for the whole world. I think over the last year and a half, we've seen people, or really just even the last year only, we've seen open source models that you can run on your own computer, even on your own phone, actually do surprisingly well. And for, you know, they can generate markdown, they can write code that actually works the first time, they can write stories, write poems, they can do a lot of the work that large, you know, models that you can't host can do. And and the trajectory for them is improving over time. We're just seeing devices run run models more efficiently, and we're seeing good models downscale in size and improvements in the way they're being trained. I think we're seeing people realize more and more that there's still more to be gained for a small model by just giving it good data, and that sometimes all you need is good data and not just a large model.
That wraps up this week's conversation with Alex Atala. Find details of where to find him in the comments below. As for next week, we'll be speaking to Rajiv Shah, former ML engineer at Hugging Face, now working with Snowflake, an edutainer with thousands of views, if not hundreds of thousands of views across many social platforms, and a real veteran in AI and data science. It's one that I think you'll enjoy. As always, leave a like and comment for the algorithm gods. Feel free to share with friends. And until I see you again, stay learning.